and just thank you for this day that you have made. We thank you that you are the God of impossible, that you have done everything for us, that you will do everything for us, and that you have completed the work in us. Lord, thank you that we can come to you boldly. Boldly, Lord Jesus. And you will meet our every need, everything. Lord, we just ask you to have your way today. And we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, I might explode here. It's a privilege to be brought up in a meeting like this, a privilege to hear his word, the truth, to be amongst saints that know that truth, that believe it, that have a heart for God and a heart for Jesus. And we're just going to keep going with that same mind today. I feel like I didn't even have to come up here and speak at all after the messages so far. But here I am. And today I'm going to be talking about confidence for the finish. Confidence for the finish. So we'll go to Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So I'm going to cut to the chase. That confidence for the finish. It's the faith to believe him for that result. Today, do you believe Jesus for that result? That end result. And I believe that we're here among saints that are called to that purpose, the only purpose, his purpose, why everything was created. For his son to have a bride. That's our finish. So it's the confidence to be the bride. It's the faith to be the bride. So for all that, we start at the beginning, right? So the day you asked Jesus into your heart, and I grew up in this meeting, so I don't directly remember the day. I have a really bad memory to begin with, and my childhood memory is pretty bad as well. But I don't remember the day. I always knew Jesus was with me. And I thank the Lord that I have that experience. I know that your experience might be different than that. You might have lived most of your life without knowing Jesus. I pray that everybody knows Jesus here, but maybe you don't. And I would say that he is asking today to be in your life. There's all these philosophies out there about how to live a good life and what's right, what's wrong. And I can tell you the one thing about our faith that's different is the grace of God, is Jesus. It is counter to man's wisdom, man's philosophies. It's not about doing good and you will get good. Sorry. It's not about that. It never will be about doing good and you will get good. It's about the exact opposite of what you will do It's grace. Grace that we receive from God despite who we are. Despite what we've done. Because it doesn't take much to know that we are not good. We are not a good people. Humanity is not good. All we have created is bad. You don't have to teach a child how to be bad. They know how to do that. You don't have to teach them how to obey. Or you don't have to teach them how to not obey. You have to try to get them to do something. Hey, put that down. You know, stop hitting your sister. Heard that a couple times. But we know easily that we're not good. And we go to God with this flesh and nothing. And all it takes for us to say is, you know what, Lord? I may not know all this, everything, this Bible and its fullness, but I believe that I'm not good. And I know about this Jesus. I heard about him. And I want Jesus in my heart. And I believe that he died for me. And that simple faith, that faith that we had when we asked Jesus into our heart, is the same faith to finish. It's not complicated. That same faith that you had to believe that Jesus would be your Savior, that simple faith, that small mustard seed of faith, is the same faith that will finish. That's it. That mustard seed of faith grows up into that giant plant. If we believe. I'm going to move this over because I'm going to knock it over here in a second. But that's it. The faith that we have, the same faith that it took to believe in Jesus, is the same faith that we need to finish. It just grows up into something beautiful. So we begin. We begin in that faith. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we begin. We start. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When we begin in this life of Christ, that flesh is done. And we have that faith, that little mustard seed of faith. It's just the beginning. Philippians 1:6. We turn there. And from the beginning, we have this confidence. Amen. Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You've heard that before. Let's turn to Isaiah 46:10. That's Isaiah 46:10. Now I'm here just to have you remember these things that the Lord has spoken to you. Now let's back up to the 9th verse. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure. I will do all my pleasure. He's declared it. He declared the end from the very beginning. He called you from the very beginning. He knew you from the very beginning. He declared it from the very beginning. What your end would be. He knows it. Do you believe it for it? That faith that you begun with. He declared it from the very beginning. He declared that end. He declared the end from the very beginning. He knew you in eternity's past. He knew that you would have a heart to hear his word. And not just the basics. Not just the milk. He called you to this mature fellowship. This deep fellowship. This joint suffering. From the beginning. So we'll turn to Galatians 3:3. Galatians 3:3, it says, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? So we began. We have this faith. We're in the Spirit. We have this life that's Christ. We've been told, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Now that we've begun, how would we ever think that we can perfect this flesh? That we can make this appearance look beautiful, acceptable, perfect unto God? We're not going to do it. I can tell you, I've failed so many times this week. I should be embarrassed. But you know what? I have the grace of God. And I don't just have it, I believe it. And I cannot frustrate the grace of God. I cannot frustrate it, not one bit. Because I believe the finish. I have faith for the finish. Not in my own confidence. I believe in what he is doing. I believe in the work that he's doing. And I have no confidence in this flesh. So why do I worry about what my flesh does? Why do I worry about that? I have one focus. My focus is on my Jesus. My focus is on my Lord. And I can't do that. I could never do that. He has brought that out of me. He saw my heart and said, I got one. He saw your heart. He saw your heart. He says, I got you. So with that, let's go to Hebrews 4:16. Let's get bold. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. It doesn't just say, come to Jesus. It doesn't just say, come into this holy of holiest places that nobody except for the very special called of God could go into. It says, come boldly. Come boldly. Come boldly to that throne of grace. And every time that we come to that throne of grace, we obtain. Every time we come to that throne of grace, we obtain. Exactly when we need it. Let's continue in Hebrews 10:19. Hebrews 10:19. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, and by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting us. Exhorting one another. And so much the more as we see his day approaching. It's coming. We don't have time to delay. We don't have time to delay. We don't have time to delay. It is high time. Webb, you said it's high time that we awake. Let that come out of you. That boldness, that joy and rejoicing. Hallelujah. It's coming. It's right on the wings. And he wants us to draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with that confidence. We don't get that true heart without Jesus. We don't have that full assurance of faith without the Lord. It's what he has done. That faith, it's him. And we have the word of his grace that's able to build us up in all these things. He gives us all these words, these lines upon lines, precepts upon precepts. 1 John 3:19, it says, and hereby we know that we are of truth, and he shall assure our hearts before him. And then it says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. We can't even condemn ourselves. 2 Timothy 2:12, it says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And then it says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He cannot deny himself of you, of what he put in you, what he's invested into you, what he saw that he declared at the beginning that you are called according to his purpose. That you are mine. He says that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. In Romans, we could read the whole chapter of Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1. It says, therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You can stop there. That's it. That rest of it, don't even read that. That was added. But it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Not even our own hearts can't condemn us. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? That is, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. I am confident. I am convinced. I know that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Again, not even me, not even my heart, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. These are all confidence builders, line upon line, precept upon precept. These are all working towards one thing. These are all working towards one thing. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Everything's working together for good. For us to win. For us to have that confidence for the finish. And these things, they're given to us time and time again. His word is given to us time and time again for us to rest. Amen. That trust, that confidence. When you have that confidence, that trust, that absolute assurance in something, that's a peace. That's a rest. We'll stay in Hebrews 4:9. Hebrews 4:9, it says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. God, the big God, created everything. Has ceased from his own works. He is resting. He's put everything into his Son. He's resting in his Son.
Amen.
If God can rest in his Son, why are we just struggling with it? Why are we struggling with it? Take my yoke.
Amen.
We can rest in the same rest that God rests in. We can enter that refuge that takes care of everything. Our pastor has said it. Others too. When a lot of things are happening, you can just say, my husband has it. Jesus has it. We can enter that rest today. And we can trust that his promises are true. Hebrews 6:13, just across the page. For when God made the promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. That's man. An oath for confirmation is the end of that struggle for man. What do we have? wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which we hope we have and is an anchor of the soul, rooted and grounded in us, both sure and steadfast, and which entered into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That high priest, we already talked about it. He is our forerunner. He goes before us. He's running for us. We're not even running. He's running for us. We're running that race to obtain, right? We're not even running, though. Do you know that? We have that forerunner. He's running for us. And we just walk in it. We just walk in it. Thank you, Jesus. And we walk by faith and not by sight. So let's go to the finish. Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. That joy. He did all that he did. He suffered all for the joy that was set before him. I believe that was me. Do you believe that was you? He endured all that. He was with God. And he decided he looked at it. This thing that he saw in love before the foundation of the earth. He said, you're worth it. He said, I'm worth it. And I look towards that end, that finish, that joy that's set before me, that hope. I want to finish with joy. And I have to finish with the word, that ministry. He was not Paul when he says this. He's not afraid of all those things that he's going to face. Because of what he knew that God had prepared for him. When I was a wrestler in high school, I had become pretty good and got to the point where there were some expectations of how I could finish, how the end of that season was going to finish. It wasn't done yet. It wasn't done, by all means. I don't even think we were halfway through the season. But my friend's brother came to me and said, he said to me, "You won it." I said, "What?" He said, you have everything to be that champion. But do you believe that you are it now? Do I believe in it now? Do I believe that I have the promise now? That he's given it? That I can hold fast to that promise? That promise is in my hand. That promise is in my hand. The only thing that's going to prevent me from that day is if I don't believe. And he said that you got to go after it. You can't take any time off. You got to go. You got to go now. Go into every single match, he said, with that same mentality. Every single match, every single thing that you're going to face, every single opponent that you're going to face, with that same mentality. That you are the champion. That's a earthly thing. What does God think about me? I am more than a conqueror. Why did he say that? I am more than a conqueror. If you've conquered, what else? What else? Let's just turn to Nehemiah 8:10 and we'll be done. Thank you, Jesus. Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said unto them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. His joy is our strength." And we're not going to finish in anything but his joy. And we had that faith to believe this finish, this complete work. We have that faith from the very beginning, that little faith. Believe the Lord. Believe in his promises. Believe in what he's said to you. Believe why he's called you. Believe it. Believe it. If he says something, believe it. And if you need more faith, ask him. He will grow that up because it's there. It's there in you right now. It will grow up. It will grow up. Because that finish, when we've been called home, when we see him face to face at the finish that we believe him for, that's just the beginning. That's just the start. How can we not be joyful? That is just the start. That is the start of it all. We're not done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.